This is Radio 4, and the time 7:30. Now, once again, the man in black emerges from the basement of Broadcasting House to recount to us this week's Fear on 4.
Welcome once more, ladies and gentlemen, to our half hour of horror. This week, our story takes us to beside a huge church. Strange, of course, because a church is normally a place of peace, tranquility, and has its own kind of beauty. But this one, it's for all the world as though the city was recoiling from it, like those in fear from a tiger let loose.
Good morning, Mrs. Williams.
Good morning, Mr. Phillips. It is Mr. Phillips, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
I'm so glad you're here for my husband's big day.
Oh, I'm one of the church wardens as well as the verger. Indeed, I think you'll find I'm never far from the church.
And I'm Rubens, Mrs. Williams, the other warden. We feel very confident that your husband will prove a worthy successor to our dear late lamented Canon Maitland. The right man for the job.
Yes, the right man for the job.
Thank you. But have I arrived early, or...
No, Mrs. Williams. The three of us are the congregation.
Oh.
The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your heart and mind.
I mean, look at this kitchen. Fully equipped down to the last food mixer. Canon Maitland must have been awfully well off to afford all this. Mm. No one to leave it to when he died.
Well, he was very old. 94, to be precise.
But aren't you supposed to retire at 70?
Yes, but none of the normal rules seem to apply here.
You can say that again.
It's the Wednesday morning services I dread, though. When there's only me in the church.
Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Amen. Amen.
Hello! Hello! Wonderful acoustic!
Larry! Am I glad to see you?
Felt bad after our frank chat in the theatre bar about your lack of congregation, Martin. So decided to show some solidarity. You sat through my awful performance as Amy Cheek, after all.
Unfortunately, I seem to have missed communion.
Oh, it's no great loss. I tried to sing the service, but here, all alone, I just can't quite... There are too many echoes.
And all these old inscriptions to contemplate. Rows and rows of plaques, all inscribed with messages of mortality. Some right odd names as well. I mean, look at this lot.
Which one?
Canzo. Frederick Canzo, William Ewart Canzo, Joshua Canzo. I've heard of that one before.
Oh, there are others. Even odder, look at this. Morsk.
Weird. Oh, and this one. Drogo.
That's the one that crops up most. Drogo. There must be more Drogos buried in the crypt under the church than all the rest put together.
Tell me how these odd names have died out. Ooh, what's that?
That's the vestry phone, strange. It's, Sheila's the only one who uses it, and she's supposed to be teaching them. I said, will you excuse me?
Yeah, of course, of course.
St. Margaret's Church. Can I help you?
You mean St. Austin Friars?
Yes.
Then why didn't you say so? We've got a funeral for you.
Oh, wait, let me find a diary and a pencil. Now, here we are. Good. Right. Now, who's speaking?
This is Bettles the Undertaker's. Deceased's name is William Henry Drogo.
Did you say Drogo?
Yes, that's right. D-R-O-G-O. Friday morning, 28th March at 10:30 a.m.
Fine. Will you want the bell rung?
Old Phillips knows how we like it. Leave it to him.
But
just
I
ask old Phillips. He'll fill you in.
Everything okay?
Yes. Odd coincidence, though.
Alan? In what way?
Undertaker's booking a funeral for someone named Drogo.
So the name's not dead and gone?
Apparently not. 28th of March at 10:30.
Sorry?
That's when the funeral is. Next Friday.
But, Martin,
Today's the 26th of February.
So it is. Someone has just booked a funeral a month in advance. How could they possibly know?
Odd, very odd.
It must be some mistake.
What exactly did he say?
Well, there's no undertaker called Bettle in the phone book.
Why not ask old Phillips to suggest it?
Because I have a feeling I'd make a fool of myself. He and Rubens don't encourage communication. Well, we could look up Drogo, I suppose. Good Lord. There are 8 Drogos in Muncaster.
8?
Including Drogo's pharmaceutical suppliers and wholesalers. And a Drogo William H. And a very lush-sounding address in Willington.
Drogo Pharmaceuticals, can I help you?
Yes, I wondered if I could speak to William H. Drogo.
You mean Mr. William Henry Drogo, our chairman?
Yes, I suppose so.
Well, I'm afraid Mr. Drogo is out all day at a meeting in London. But of course, Mr.
Williams.
Of course, Mr. Williams. If you would care to ring back tomorrow.
Thank you. Do you mind if I ask a rather peculiar question?
If you think I can be of assistance, Mr. Williams.
Are there any other William Henry Drogos?
Oh, no, Mr. Williams. There is only one Mr. William Henry Drogo. I can assure you of that. I am acquainted with the entire family, and there is only one Drogo family, at least in Britain. Thank you so much for calling.
Well?
He seems very much alive.
A cover-up, perhaps. But some firms are pretty vulnerable when the big boss man suddenly dies.
But you couldn't hope to cover up a death for a month. Could you?
Martin, but...
There it is. I knew I'd seen it somewhere. Bettle, not Bettle,
but Betty.
Larry.
Yes?
If you're talking to Sheila, don't mention any of this, will you?
Any particular reason?
I just think she'd feel it all a bit too crazy.
Drogo Pharmaceuticals, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Williams.
Oh, yes, Mr. Williams, of course. Could you hold the line a moment and I'll put you through to Mr. Drogo? He is expecting you.
Thank you, but I...
Yes?
Mr. Drogo. Mr. William Henry Drogo.
Yes. It was me you wished to speak to, Mr. Williams.
Yes, that's right. Only I don't really know how to start.
If I may say so, you sound rather upset.
Well, yes, I am a little upset, I suppose. There's something I have to tell you.
I am right in thinking you are the new rector of St. Austin Friars.
Yes. How do you know that?
We've always had a family interest in St. Austin's. If something is concerning you, perhaps you would honor my granddaughter and myself with your company at dinner tomorrow night.
Well, yes, thank you. If it's not too much of a...
No. We have our own ways. Till tomorrow evening, Mr. Williams.
I'm Cilicia Drogo. We're through in here. My grandfather's given the servants the evening off. Grandfather, this is Mr. Williams.
Ah, Mr. Williams. Delighted to make your acquaintance.
But I'd hope to speak to Mr. Drogo.
I am Mr. Drogo.
Mr. William Henry Drogo?
The same.
But, forgive me, you're surely no more than 50, and your granddaughter must surely be, well, around 30, if I'm not mistaken.
There is no mistake, Mr. Williams. Have a seat and let me get you a drink.
Thank you.
If you'll both excuse me for a while, I must see to the dinner. Till later, then, Mr. Williams.
Yes. Thank you.
My granddaughter interests you, I think.
Mr. Drogo, I wouldn't like you to imagine for a moment...
Merely an observation, Mr. Williams. No criticism implied. Now, let me get you that drink, and you tell me what is worrying you.
So you see, Mr. Drogo, Bettle was B-E-T-Y-L, and there used to be an undertaker of that name, but their premises have just been demolished, and there's no record of where they've gone to. I wouldn't have bothered you with all this, only it's been preying on my mind.
Yes?
Is it just some ridiculous practical joke, or a threat of some kind against your life, or something?
I mean, it sounds like something the Mafia would do if we had anything like the Mafia in Muncaster.
Oh, we had the Mafia in Muncaster a couple of years ago, on a very small scale. But we had a quiet word in the chief constable's ear, and they went away peacefully enough.
Then why should anyone want to...
Ah, supper must be ready. Please, Mr. Williams, come and eat.
Little more, Mr. Williams.
No, really, I couldn't. That was delicious, Miss Drogo. Oh, I'm sorry, I was assuming...
No, you're perfectly correct. I'm not married.
Oh, you surprise me.
Oh. In what way?
Mr. Williams is being flattering, Cilicia.
No, really, it's obvious from your conversation, Mr. Drogo, that you know a great deal more about the history of my church than I do.
Well, I suppose we Drogos have always had a special feeling for St. Austin's. We think of it as our church.
About that strange phone call, then, was I meant to come and tell you?
Oh, yes, you were meant to come and tell me.
But why?
Because I am going to die on March the 26th.
Oh, I see, I'm sorry. The doctor's told you, and so...
Yes.
But he can't have told you the exact date, can he?
I chose the date.
What? Why? You're in the pink of health.
Do you know how old I am?
No, but I...
I am 192 years old on March the 26th. I thought that made it rather neat.
Miss Drogo, I...
And I, Mr. Williams... I'm 84 next birthday.
Look, I came here in good faith. I didn't come here to be made a fool of.
We are not making a fool of you, Cilicia, my dear. Show Mr. Williams your birth certificate.
Of course, Grandfather.
There really is no need to look so alarmed, Mr. Williams.
Here we are. Go on, read.
Cilicia Margaret Drogo, born July the 8th, 1900. And 5 to William Canzo Drogo and Margaret Drogo, formerly Bettel.
Do you want to see her parents' marriage certificate as well? I want your mind to be absolutely satisfied. We need your presence at my funeral very badly, Mr. William.
I think I want my coat.
As you wish, of course. But it would be easier for you if you went with my granddaughter now. She could make everything perfectly clear to you, and none of what you have to do need ever worry you again. She helped old Canon Maitland to see things clear. We gave Canon Maitland a very contented life for many years. He was almost one of us.
Mr. Drogo, there is only one thing I want from you just now. It's my coat.
Of course, Mr. Williams, if you insist. Cilicia, fetch Mr. Williams his coat, will you?
Of course, Grandfather. But, oh, Mr. Williams, what a pity. What a terrible pity.
We need you, Mr. Williams.
We need you there.
Martin, you're home early, aren't you? I wasn't expecting you to... Martin, whatever's the matter? Something wrong?
Sheila, this is going to seem very strange, but I want you to sit down and listen very carefully.
Martin.
Please.
Ah, Martin, come up here.
It's good of you to see me, sir.
Oh, no, not at all. I've taken up your complaint with Mr. Drogo. He's apologized handsomely, as you see. Said his granddaughter was a great one for practical jokes and rather one for the men. More than I care to admit about my granddaughter. Said he was a fool to go along with her, but didn't know how far she was going. A damn decent apology, I call that. He's writing to you. Wants you to take your missus over for a meal. Make things up. Sherry?
But I didn't make a complaint, Bishop.
No?
No. I wrote you a detailed report marked personal and confidential. I had no idea you were going to tell Mr. Drogo its contents.
It hasn't done any harm, has it, as it turns out?
Well, I feel I should inform you that it cannot be a practical joke, as Mr. Drogo claimed.
Oh?
I've been doing some investigating. I went up to London, Somerset House, births, deaths and marriages. I spent the whole day checking. There has not been a single Drogo birth since 1905. That was Cilicia. But from the electoral rolls, there are at the present time 32 Drogos living in Muncaster.
Rubbish. Stuff and nonsense. Of course they were born. I know a lot of them well. Michael Drogo is a solicitor to the diocesan board. Giles Drogo was chairman of the Rotary last year. Why, in a quiet way, the Drogos are Manchester. Don't know what we do without them. They keep things under control.
So it's their foundation supporting St. Austin's?
Yes, of course. And I don't want you having moral vapours on my hearthrug about it. You'll not prosper in Manchester long if you get the Drogos' backs up. Oh, why anybody in their senses should want to...
There's something going on at St. Austin's. Something against the will of God.
That, Martin, is my province to decide. If you don't agree with me, you can always resign. Well? No. I thought not. Go home and think it over. I don't want to lose you when you're doing so well. Why, I've only just had an invitation for you to give a talk on your city centre work to the Social Services Department of the University. The James Drogo Memorial Lecture, no less. Congratulations.
The James Drogo Memorial Lecture?
Yes, that's right.
And when might that be?
According to the invite, Friday, 28th of March, 10:30 a.m. Anything the matter, Martin?
Don't you see, darling, since I won't play it their way, the Drogos want me out of the church on the morning of the funeral. Out of the way, so they can...
What?
I don't know. That's the awful thing. It's only 2 weeks off, and we still don't know.
They can hardly bury Mr. Drogo in the churchyard. He's been closed how long? 100 years?
They don't need to use the churchyard. St. Austin's has got a crypt. All those names on the plaques on the church walls near this spot lie the mortal remains and so on. They're lying under the floor in coffins on shelves in a place probably as big as the church itself.
Know that.
No, most people don't. They wouldn't go near some churches. It's a kind of clerical conspiracy of silence. Mind you,
Martin, I've just had the oddest feeling. Where was all Canon Maitland buried?
It'll be in the church diary. In the church.
Let's go and look. We can be there and back in 10 minutes.
All right. But are you sure?
It's better than not knowing, isn't it? Old Phillips.
Ask Old Phillips. He knows the ropes, you mean.
Yes, exactly.
We just have to hope he's tucked up in bed at home. There.
Oh, that's better.
Still looks decidedly gloomy. Come on.
Oh. Where is it?
On the table there.
Oh, here we are. Ah, J.K.L. Recorded by Old Phillips, by the look of it. The funeral of Canon Maitland, conducted by somebody or other, Trinity Hall, Cambridge.
Canzo. The Reverend Leonard Canzo. Another one of their names.
The body was interred in the crypt of St. Austin Friars by special faculty, authorized by the bishop. Because of his long and faithful service to the church of 70 years. Where's the door down to the crypt?
I don't know. There are two. I've never been down. One's the boiler house and the central heating. I left all that to Old Phillips.
As in ask Old Phillips?
Yes. Shall we take a look? These doors are solid oak, but we'll never force them.
And Old Phillips has the only keys, no doubt. Don't most old boiler rooms have another door to the outside for when the coke was delivered? That might be open. It's worth a try.
Sheila! Wait!
Shush! I'm over here. I wish we'd brought a torch. Without the light from the church, I'd never have found it.
So that's the door, then?
Yes. Careful with this old coal. Oh, shut and locked.
It's probably only a coal hole, darling.
Oh, let's hope so. Shh! Somebody's coming. Quick, behind here.
Phillips. He's bound to find the light in the church. Doing?
Well, that's not the first time he's opened that in the dark. Well, all his hinges.
Now he's going.
That's mad. Unlocking a door at dusk.
And leaving it ajar. God, what it opened.
Do we take a look inside?
Why not? the lights off in the church.
But I didn't want to be here. Not in the dark. Not able to see anything.
Let's get back home. Sitting in here at home, he can't have seen from the church whether the lights were on or not. We could be here all evening.
Oh, yes.
Get something to do, Sheila. I'll turn the radio on.
Martin, please relax. Oh, I think we can guess who that'll be. Please relax.
Your keys, I believe, Mr. Williams.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
I found the church unlocked and all the lights on. Vestry open.
And the church diary. Evening, Mrs. Williams.
Evening.
Look, I thought at first it was bundles.
Sorry, I've been meaning to go back and lock up. I'll just switch off.
You know, Mr. Williams, you want to be careful. A lot more careful. And your good wife. Canon Maitland would never have made a mistake like that. Very happy and well settled here, Canon Maitland.
Yes, so I gather.
Good night, Mr. Williams. And please, do be more careful.
Curiouser and curiouser.
You're mad, Larry.
Well, I was there for that initial phone call, don't forget.
I can't face my Wednesday services alone anymore. I keep thinking, if God's above listening, who's listening down there in the crypt? And why did they need that door opened at dusk?
The doors are locked all the time now, mind. Old Phillips is clearly not taking any chances. He's around practically every hour of the day and night.
All ready for the big day tomorrow. 28th of March, which is where I come in.
Exactly. If you'll do it.
Gladly.
Thank you.
If you really think I'll get away with impersonating you.
I have every trust in your powers of mimicry, having seen them in action. Besides, Sheila will be there to give you moral support.
You will probably deliver the Drogo Memorial Lecture better than Martin.
Well, if that's what you want, both of you.
I am never going to find out what's going on at St. Austin Friars. I have to be there at the funeral watching.
And you'll be all right on your own, I think.
Oh, I don't intend to be there on my own. I've contacted the police.
You're really taking this seriously, aren't you?
Very seriously.
Chilly morning for these sort of duties, sir.
Yes, I'm sorry, but I thought it best for us to be here in good time.
Things are due to start about 10:30, you say?
Yes, Sergeant, yes, that's right.
Well, we should be able to see most of it from here, shouldn't we? Without whoever they are seeing us. Black magic, do you reckon, sir?
Something like that.
Nasty business, black magic.
That'll be all, Phillips.
Might this be the funeral court day, sir? Do things in some style, these. What did you say the name was?
Drogo. They must all be here. The 31 remaining Drogos. That one over there is Cilicia Drogo. No. I may be wrong.
There's a family look to them, I agree, sir. Easy to make a mistake, I imagine. And some looking women, all of them, sir.
Well preserved their age, I think you could say, Sergeant.
Coffins going in, sir. And the family are following. What do you want us to do now?
I know where we can get a good view inside. There's a window in the bell chamber. Looks right down into the body of the church.
Lead on then, sir. I'm right behind.
Come on, Sonny. Follow me. Window's over there. God.
Quite a good turnout, sir.
My God. Hundreds of them. I wonder if they've come from... We never saw this many going in. Yes, I thought so. Look, the crypt door's wide open.
Ah, Mr. Williams, how good to see you up there. We're all so glad you could make it after all.
Mr. Bethel!
Come down and join us. Williams.
Sergeant, help me. Do something. Don't just stand there. Don't you see what's happening? In my church.
I think you ought to go down, sir.
What do you mean? Don't you realize who... What they are?
My warrant card, sir. Sergeant Harold Morsk, Moncaster CID.
Morsk? Then you're one of them?
Yes, sir.
And there's no point to resisting?
None, sir. We've gone to a lot of trouble to make sure you made it to our little service. Vital, you were present, you see. Shall we go down?
Psst.
so glad you came after all, Mr. Williams. You see, we are a God-fearing race who have always supported your church, and we need you to say amen. Without a clergyman's blessing, some of our number here are liable to get a bit out of hand and run wild. We do feel it's the least you can do for us. Now, please, will you stand by the late Mr. William Henry Drogo's coffin? Thank you so much, Mr. Williams. Now, please, Mr. Williams.
Amen. Amen!
Mr. Williams.
You.
I'm sorry, but you look just like the late Mr. Drogo. Mr. William Henry Drogo.
That is not entirely surprising. Thank you for your contribution. As a result, the congregation have all departed peacefully to their various places of rest. There are still people cruel enough to sharpen ash stakes for us. The world gets little better, except on the surface. Now we shall have no trouble in Muncaster. For the moment, at least. Thank you.
These things trouble you.
Cilicia here has an affection for you. Go with her now, and she will make all things well for you.
No, I can't.
Don't be frightened, Martin. Come with me.
Cilicia.
Yes, Grandfather.
Not in the crypt. We are not anticipating a permanent arrangement with Mr. Williams. The vestry will do perfectly well.
Yes, Grandfather. Come on, Martin.
No. No.
Come on. Look. Vestry doors wide open. And welcoming.
When Martin Williams awoke on the vestry floor, he couldn't quite remember what had happened to him. He felt a deep inner glow, but an irritation on the left side of his neck as if he'd been stung. Soon afterwards, he and his wife were suddenly transferred to a small rural living. Currently, there's no vicar at St. Austin Friars, but one is urgently being sought, for the dark forces buried deep in the vault could break loose and get seriously out of hand. In this story, Michael Maloney played the young vicar, Melinda Walker, his wife, Michael Deacon, his actor friend, Geoffrey Whitehead, old Phillips, Clifford Norgate, Rubens, Joe Kendall, the secretary. The vampire fraternity was David March, William Henry Drogo, Margaret Robertson, his daughter, Norman Bird, the bishop, John Moffat, Bettel, the undertaker, and Michael Graham Cox, Sergeant Morse. St. Austin Friars was adapted for radio by Stephen Wyatt from the short story by Robert Westall. The director was Martin Jenkins. My name is Edward D'Souza, your man in black. And my story next week takes you into the world of dreams. Or should I say, ladies and gentlemen, nightmares.
This is Radio 4. The time is 8 o'clock, and just before bookshelf, attention all shipping, especially in sea area southeast Iceland. The Meteorological Office issued the following gale warning to shipping at 1940 GMT today. Southeast Iceland, southwesterly storm 10, increasing hurricane force 12 imminent. That's the end of the gale warning.